Hey, y'all. I am so excited for today's episode. I would like you to welcome warmly Allison Ward, a former IBM executive turned best-selling author and Tony Robbins senior trainer. Allison has reshaped her life to focus on helping others achieve balance and purpose. She has a gripping book called Please Don't Come Home Except for a Visit, a field guide to raising independent young adults. And we're going to chat about that a little bit. And she draws from all sorts of her rich life experiences, including a challenging divorce and a dynamic career shift. Allison's journey is nothing short of inspirational. Y'all, this episode's so juicy. She shares her secrets to living intentionally and planning meaningfully, and she really is aiming to empower busy moms and professionals to embrace mindful productivity. So if this sounds like your jam, tune in, because Allison is a mother, a mentor, and an innovator, and she's going to share how she uses her challenges as a catalyst for personal and professional growth, and how you can do the same too. This is so invigorating. I can't wait to share this with you. Let's do this. Do you want to feel less scattered and more focused, but the idea of goal setting sounds like adding more pressure to your already pressure-filled life? If so, welcome to the Plan Goal Plan podcast. I'm Danielle McGee. I'm a professor, mom, planner addict, and recovering overachiever. After years of hustle and grind, I was tired of trying harder. I was ready to try easier. At the intersection of research, practice, and play, I found a purposeful path to planning and goal setting that is fun, simple, and sustainable. If you're ready to try easier, if you're ready to make memories and do meaningful work, grab a pen. I will equip you with tools and practices to clarify purpose, reclaim time, and achieve goals, playfully and lightly. Let's get started. Today, we are joined with Allison Ward, a dynamic life and business strategist with a passion towards guiding individuals towards more fulfilling and efficient lives. I love that. Fulfilling and efficient. Give me that. So Allison has been through some pretty significant life transitions, including a challenging divorce and a transformative career shift. So I'm so excited to have this mother, mentor, innovator, Allison with us. She really embodies the spirit of intentional living and meaningful planning. She's going to share all sorts of insights, all sorts of strategies with you all to help you navigate your path towards a balanced and purposeful life. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here, Allison.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
You bet. So tell me your story. I know that you have been through some significant transitions over the years. So, you know, tell me a little bit about those transitions and how did that inspire you to start helping busy moms and professionals practice what you call mindful productivity?
Yeah, I'll start the story with when my girls were little, like really little, like 1.5 and 3 years old, 3.5 years old. And I remember one day I was in the kitchen rushing around like a Saturday morning, like I always was, getting everything together for the girls, and a very challenging starter husband. And I remember my back seized up and I ended up on the floor, like literally lying on the tile floor with my girls, like kind of dancing around me. Like they think I'm playing a game, but my back was in so much pain, and I didn't have back pain. This was not common for me. It was just, I think, the stress of everything that was going on. I had a big career at IBM. I have these two daughters, a challenging, situation in marriage. And it was like, you ever hear that when they say, if your back hurts, it's because you don't have support. And that is truly how I felt. And I wish I could say that was the catalyst for me to leave the marriage, but it wasn't. It was definitely a big symbol that maybe things were not going the way I wanted to in life. But then my mom died shortly thereafter. And my mom was only 59 when she passed away. And I remember thinking to myself, what if I only have another 22 years? Is this how I want to live them? Am I showing up in life the way that I want to model for my daughters? And the answer was clearly and definitely no. And that is what caused me to decide to leave my marriage. And so then here I am living downtown Chicago with two kids in private school and, like I said, a big demanding job. And it was like things were better because I didn't have that stressor in my life, but I had a whole bunch of other stressors in my life, right? Like work was only getting more demanding. And I'm like, something has to change. Something has to change because I feel like I'm just kind of going along swept up in life without really having any real joy in it. Like not unhappy, but not really happy, not really feeling like empowered to live the best life. And my goal, my driver was always these two girls, right? I wanted to make sure that they had every opportunity that they could. And like I said, I knew what I was doing wasn't going to work. And so I started looking for other resources. And that's actually when I first found Tony Robbins and started doing some coursework myself and really started seeing some changes. And the more I learned, the more I wanted to learn to share the work, right? All of that while I'm doing the two kid thing, trying to figure out everything else. But it's like when you find something that really speaks to your soul, it makes it easy to do those additional things. That was one of the first things I observed was when you're really passionate about something and you're really excited about something, you can lean into it more. And that's definitely been a theme in my life. Even though it looked like on the one hand, I was leaving to go away to improve myself, you know, like, oh, how could I leave my kids, right? How could I take time from work? You know, I have so little, you know, free time. How could I go away for a week and do like an intensive program? But I really realized very quickly, I'm going to be better off to serve my kids. I'm going to be a better manager. I'm going to just show up as a better friend, a better daughter, right? For my dad, better sibling to my brother and sister. And so I really did know that that was going to help me. So some people are like, oh, I can't do anything else because I have my kids, I have work. But it's really when you make those investments in yourself and what brings you joy, you show up better in life. So that was one of the very early kind of biggest transitions that I made.
Yeah. I think that what you're sort of describing, this feeling of I'm not really unhappy, but there isn't just delight or joy in the way that you know is possible, like in the way that you yearn for there to be in your life. And also this idea that, oh, I don't know how much time I do have. So is this how I want to live if my time is limited? So it sounds like pretty early on, you realized that you needed to make a shift. Did it take a little bit of searching and exploration to figure out what to shift to?
Yes and no. I knew something had to change. And a lot of people, like you said before, it's hard to take action when you're basically happy, right? That's the thing. Like, I think that was the thing that was a little unusual for me, because when you're kind of complacent, right? Things aren't really bad. Like, things are really bad. That's why I got divorced. My mom died. But things weren't really bad now. I was taking my kids on vacation with my family. You know, like, I love James Bond, right? So like the night before, James Bond. And then I get up early in the morning to finish the packing to go away with my kids. And I turned the TV on. It was like TNT or TBS. And Tony was sharing his CDs there. And I was like, wow, that really speaks to me, right? So it was really somewhat serendipitous that he was the first person. And I had done other things. I've always been somebody who values education, right? Both formal education and informal education. And so that just really spoke to me. So that's the thing that made me take action at that time.
That's awesome. It's such a relief when we kind of have those moments and then we open our eyes to pay attention for opportunities. And when the right guide comes along, it can really make a huge difference. So can you tell me a little bit about mindful productivity and what is that to you and how do you practice it?
Yeah, it's interesting. When I was thinking about the podcast, your show this morning, I am somebody who for years and years and years, I used a Franklin planner, right? I love a system. I love a good system, right? I love my A's, B's, and C's. This has to get done. This should get done, or it could get done, right? And I prioritize. And I always was somebody who lived by planner because I had so much to do, right? And that was great because it did make me feel like, okay, I am being intentional because I'm really focused on those. For your listeners who don't know that system, I still advocate for it because it's really sitting down, making a list before you take any action, right? What are the things you need to get done today? And then prioritizing those so those things get done. So at the end of the day, the whole list didn't get done, but at least it was the A's, the things that are the most important, then at least you feel like, right, I've got something accomplished. And that worked for me for a long time. But the thing that shifted over time is really tapping into the why am I doing this? Not just getting it done, but at the end of the day, what is most important to me? What is going to make Allison the happiest? And it could be bringing some joy to the lives of my children. It could be, you know, having a stellar meeting or showing up for my clients in a particular way, right? At IBM, like that could be the thing. And so it ebbs and flows. It's not always one thing, but kind of sitting down and when you're making your list, not a daily list, what I do is I sit down and think about what was great last year? What was great? What would I like more of? So I can make sure I replicate that. Yeah. What didn't work so well? So I can make some changes to that. And I think about that. My actions are very intentional. And then I use little things to, you know, the things that have to get done that are important that I call them the stabilize. Like when my kids were little, I wanted to make sure, obviously, that they were well fed. My older daughter is a type 1 diabetic. And so we had certain meal considerations and health considerations. So I made a menu. I got my children's input. I said, great, girls, what do you want to have for breakfast every day? And we set it out. We pre-decided what we were going to eat. And then in the morning, it was like, oh, it's Monday. We're having X. So I did a lot of those things, like having the kids pick out their clothes for the week, right? Because again, I don't want to wear this. This isn't clean. Oh, we decided all that in the weekend. And I had a little thing in the closet that had like for all the different shelves to put the clothes in. Great. Put the clothes in there. So just a little hack that just, it was so much easier to think about all the outfits on at one time for the week, you know, getting the dance clothes together that they needed. Just you were prepared, right? And really being intentional about that. That is one of the ways that I did it.
Yes, this sort of like principle, decide once.
Yes.
And it will take, you know, the mental load, all of these decisions. We have enough decisions to make. So how can you really limit that? And also, you know, as you were talking, it reminds me of in Cal Newport's book, Slow Productivity, he makes a little bit of a critique of David Allen's get things done method. And it's not that he doesn't think that it is useful or helpful, but what can happen sometimes is when we get in this process of making list after list after list, and then just doing the next task and the next task, is we can separate ourselves from the task and like the purpose and the task and our purpose. And so I really love the way that you start out and say, okay, well, what is meaningful to me? And I do think that for so many women, if we have been in busy culture, busy, 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 going after our career goals, starting and raising a family, you know, doing all of the things, it can be really hard to even figure out what it is that we enjoy. And yes. What makes us happy. And so I love just go, okay, well, I have a past. I can utilize that as a resource to say, all right, what did I really like about last year? And can I just start by give me more of that?
Yes. It makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference.
Right. And then anytime I sit down with a new goal, it's like I write down the goal, right? And then why is this important? What's the purpose of this? How is it going to impact me? How's it going to be impacting the people in my life? For me, contribution is a really big thing. How's it going to impact people that I might not even know, right? So like your podcast, right? You're not talking to every person from your podcast. You can't, but you know that you're putting something really great out there. And so that is huge. That could be knowing that you're impacting the lives of other women who are juggling motherhood. Like when I wrote my book, like that was the thing. It's like, oh my gosh, if this could help other parents to raise children who are more independent, we just kept seeing children who were going off to college and really struggling with depression. They've never failed in their lives before. They've never had an opportunity to fail before, which like I said, led me to read the book, but it was my purpose, right? Because I had a big job. I had the kids, I had whatever. And like, I'm writing this book in between in, you know, my spare time, right? But when I was so clear on what my purpose was, it was easy.
Yeah. And those things that just give us energy instead of take energy from us. When you're doing the work that you really feel called to do, that you feel like that you've been yearning to do, I do think that it just fills you with energy instead of takes it from you. And that doesn't mean that it's easy, but I do think that it's easier than maybe like clawing through something that you don't really want to be doing. There's just like so much that I'm excited about chatting with you, because I think that as you're kind of talking about thinking through, okay, well, what is the purpose of this? One thing that I've really noticed is that when women are goal setting too, we want goals that serve beyond ourselves. Like we want goals that are really relationally impactful. I want to geek out a little bit about technology with you. So when we think about technology, a lot of times we think about how it distracts us. In fact, I was just doing a listening panel the other day for the Global Listening Center. And we were talking about, well, what gets in the way of people listening well? And we were like, technology. So I'm really curious, how do you find creative ways to use technology to invite mindfulness as opposed to interrupt it?
Yeah, great question. I would say two things. One, I mean, obviously there's things like apps out there that can help you be mindful, right? To center your day. I love the Miracle Morning as an example. I love that app. Great book. Very simple book. It's like so simply put, right? It's like a fifth grader could read that book, which is great because it can really appeal to everybody. It's very simple. I love that. And so I love apps like that. One of the reasons that I love being as proficient as I am in using ChatGPT is that from a productivity perspective, there are so many things that I can do that I can take those. That's kind of like when I used to make the menu for my kids. This is something that has to get done. We have to have breakfast every day, right? We have to eat lunch. We have to have dinner every day. So by coming up with that menu and getting their input, which empowered them, right? I was able to go ahead and just get it taken care of. Now, it's not that it wasn't important and it wasn't that I had to put my intention on it, but I don't want to spend a ton of time on it. So what I love for ChatGPT and Claude and some others is that I can take those tasks that I have to repeat that I can do, but I can do faster with this. So there are things that are important, but they're not things I'm going to spend a lot of time on. So when I hear people like, there's all these promises with ChatGPT, you can write a book in an hour. And I'm like, you could, but it wouldn't be very good.
And it probably wouldn't be very fulfilling.
No, exactly. It wouldn't be. And I hate those promises. That's a good point. I hadn't even thought about that, the fulfilling part. What's a good example of one of the things I do? I was on vacation. I have a house in another location and we're on this kind of dirt road. It's not a town approved road. So what happens is when it rains, there's divots. It's a big mess. And my neighbor who's there year round is always like fighting with the town to get it taken care of. I came up and I looked at it and I was like, I don't even know how my neighbor can get out from her house. Like the road, the divots were so bad. I mean, her car getting out must be a mess. And I said, I'm going to help. I'm going to write, who should I contact? She's like, oh, well, you need to call the town and here's who you need to reach out to. It's like, great. So I called the town and again, they reminded me, well, you're not really, whatever. And I'm like thinking to myself, well, I pay taxes, don't I? So how does that work exactly? But she said, here's who you want to contact. And you want to kind of use some words about the danger. I'm like, great. I went over to Claude AI, which is a competitor to ChatGPT. And I said, here's the situation. I want you to write something about, the fact that it's danger. I want you to write it to this person. I want a subject line that's going to catch their attention. Now, this was important to me, right? I am a good writer. I feel that I could write a compelling letter. What I could not do was do it in 30 seconds. And it was so effective that within 48 hours, they were coming to repair the road.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's a great example of one of those things where, could I do it? Sure, I could do it. I'm confident I could write a compelling letter. But it's one of those things, how much time do I want to spend doing it? Not much. So by putting all the data in there and knowing how to craft a good prompt, also done. I didn't even need to edit it. It was literally perfectly written. So finding ways that you can find tasks that you do that are repetitive. That wasn't a repetitive task, but it was just something that it could do faster than I could do.
Absolutely. It reminds me, Gay Hendricks in the book, The Big Leap, talks a lot about, the difference between your zone of excellence and your zone of genius. And counter to what I think we might think of like, oh, these places where I'm competent, those are the places that maybe get in the way we often think that the places where we're incompetent are the ones that are going to get in our way. But, Gay Hendricks is really like, hey, look at actually your zone of excellence is sometimes the biggest distraction from you working in your zone of genius. And so while this is important to you and you even have like the skills and the competencies there to do it, it's still not your life's purpose.
Right.
And so how do you just be efficient there?
Right. Exactly. And it is important, right? It is definitely, definitely important to me. I'll give you another example too. I run a group coaching and training program for women. And I also run a mastermind for women who have graduated out of that, but want to continue to do work with me. And the other night, a couple of weeks ago, I did a thing called 7 Levels Deep exercise with the group, which really helps people connect with their why, right? They all have goals. I wasn't seeing much activity in the goals. So I'm like, okay, let's do this exercise, ladies, so we can really drill down. And it was life-changing for the women. They were like, oh my gosh, I didn't really realize that this is the thing that was driving it. So it's basically the exercise where you ask, why is that important? Why is that important? Why is that important? 7 times, right? And so we did that. Then I thought, what are we going to do as a follow-up? So I have a custom GPT. Everybody doesn't know this stuff. So I don't think you're too advanced in that ChatGPT, but I've made a custom GPT that is all about this group of women that I work with and what I do. So if I want some brainstorming, which is one of the greatest tools reasons you can use ChatGPT, just to think of what am I not seeing? What are some, almost like coaching, right? Like, what do I not see? But just kind of quick and prompt do. And I said, well, what would be a really great follow-on exercise? And ChatGPT is like, oh, well, you could do, a meditation and a visualization. I'm like, that's a really good idea. So it gave me an idea of what I wanted to do. So again, I'm using that back and forth. It meets my objectives. I know my why. I know my outcome, which is the 2 most important things to know. But then I'm using ChatGPT to kind of help me brainstorm with it.
I love that. Yeah. I think that people that are real visionaries, which I think a lot of my listeners are, they like might have all these amazing ideas, but trying to map out the path from the idea to implementation can sometimes be really challenging. And I love that ChatGPT can be that partner. And hey, I have this vision, put these ideas together. Now, what map out the path for me? And you still have to do the work.
You not only have to do the work, but you have to also be able to read it and go, is this right?
Yes.
Like, not like, is it right? Like, because ChatGPT does hallucinate, and it does, but I mean, you're right from, does it connect with me? I have to tie it back to what's my outcome? What's my why? Does this meet that objective? Right. So it's just a tool. You know, I hear some people say, oh, they're nervous about it. They're nervous about it. I mean, first of all, AI has been here. What do you think Siri and Alexa and all those things are? Right. AI has been here, not going anywhere. And this is just a way of you harnessing the power of it. And you can always use it for a blog, but you hear that all the time. But I think the real power is the consultancy.
I agree.
Right. And knowing how to really to help people to really leverage the consultancy of it, I think is really powerful. I'm going to definitely create a course now because I get that question so many times from individuals. I do help businesses with it, how to harness it, but I actually am getting more questions from just people who in my life, how can I leverage it more?
Absolutely love that. I mean, the other day I was getting so many art projects back home from my kids and I know, so, you know, this is something that's really interesting to me is like organization and how do we just manage all of our stuff, you know, but I was like, hey, I'm going to ask, you know, ChatGPT for some ideas on how to, you know, how I could cultivate and curate my kids' artwork. And it had some really great suggestions. And so I do think that using it as this like partner in brainstorming solutions is really, really helpful. So you kind of mentioned this earlier that you work with people in designing their lives, in designing their years. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, what are some challenges that you find that particularly women have when they're trying to map out their year, think about their year?
I think the first thing that is very common, first of all, is that women, and we kind of alluded to this before, they don't feel, not that they're not deserving, but they think it's that, no, I've got to do this for my kids, my spouse, my parent, perhaps if they have elderly parents, I got to do this for this other person, right? It's my job to take care of them. And it's an important job. Or, you know, that whole like, well, if I'm spending time with my kids, I'm not doing my job. If I'm doing my job, I'm not spending time with my kids. So it's going to kind of like stop and reminding them that when they take care of themselves, they're A, going to be feeling better and feeling more energy and power and focus on the things that are important to them, like taking care of their kids and being effective in their work. And then the second thing is, again, connecting with the why, which is why I did that 7 levels deep exercise with the women, because you often think it's one thing and it's not that. And until you can really get down to the why, the true why, you won't be as effective. So it's like really kind of connecting that with them. You know, the goal setting process that I take people through is very different. Because again, it's like, we want to build on what was positive. We want to make changes at things that don't work. And then think about like, who do I need to be? How do I need to show up so that I can get all the things, like the person who can accomplish all these things, right? I think that's a thing that people don't often think of. Like that, well, what's my identity? Like who's the person that I am that can easily handle all this?
Yeah. And that's so often because it is us, that somewhere inside of us, we already have that skill, that capacity. And so how do we tap into it, or how do we bring it out in a way that we can cultivate it even more and make that part of us that is already there even more presenced and visible and doing the thing?
Yeah. And it is. And that is your unique superpower. The way that you look at the world, your passions, your values, all of those things makes you different than it makes me. And so there's no one way to do it. There's not, here's the way you have to do it. I hope that you and I share some ideas that your listeners will say, hey, that's a good idea. I think we'll try it, and then put your own twist on it. Right.
Absolutely.
What it's not, there's not one way to do things. And that's the thing. I always, you know, like I said, like the Franklin Covey thing, I learned that for years that really served me, and I kind of put my own flourishes on it. But, you know, I took that as a baseline to start, and then, you know, modified it to serve me. And to, like I said, so my kids are getting the best of me. My husband's getting the best of me. My clients are getting the best of me.
I love that. You know, I find so often we get too committed to the system, right? So you have like the, you know, Franklin Covey planner and you're like, this is the system. And I think that sometimes we're hesitant to put our own flair on things because we think that to adapt it to ourselves is to fail at the system, as opposed to I'm utilizing a skill of adaptation. And I also sort of think about it in terms of, you know, like your family like loves you and they want you and like your value is you. So, you know, if there's one thing that you would recommend to people so that they could be more bold at work and present at home, what would it be?
More bold at work and present at home. I think, you know, again, first taking a moment for yourself. I love that idea of kind of having some centering time in the morning, whether it's prayer, whether it's meditation, a walk, you know, whatever it is, you know, that morning cup of tea or coffee, just like taking a moment for yourself and not taking action until you've thought about what matters most. Right? Like, what is it that matters most to you and also to that project you're trying to advance at work? Right? Or, you know, with your kids, the other thing I would say too, that would help is that helps people. It's not as much about the doing as it is about the being, right? It's like, how do I show up? If I show up with my kids and come on, we gotta, you know, that kind of frenetic energy, that's what you're going to get back, right? And so you want to bring, and it's what's nice to like just take a moment for yourself in the morning and just like center yourself, because you're just bringing a totally different energy to everything that you do.
I love that. And to recognize that oftentimes in our homes too, our energy does set the tone and we have so much influence. We have so much influence. It's absolutely amazing. So Allison, if my listeners wanted to connect with you, how could they do that?
Well, let's say a couple places. One, I'm on Instagram and often dancing with my daughters on Instagram. There's a lot of advice and things that I do there, but so definitely Instagram, a lot of fun stuff there. And then go to my website. I actually, in the topic of planning, I have a little course that I created because like so many of my clients were using it. They're like, oh my God, this process works. So I just put something very simple together there on planning the next 12 months. And so like I think kind of a unique approach to doing that. And I would actually even give your listeners $20 off. It's very inexpensive to begin with, but just to, you know, to encourage them to take action on it. And if they just use the word podcast when they go on, and it's Allyson Ward, WARD.com, and then just work with Allison when planning your year, your ideal year. And they can use the word podcast, like I said, for $20 off. And it is really impactful because I also talk about who you spend your time with. That's the other thing too, right? Not just what's important and why it's important, but who do you spend your time with? We drill down into in that exercise. So that's definitely a good way to catch up with me.
Yay, Allison, this has been such an honor. And, you know, I'm so excited that you're sharing those things with my audience because I know that's something that they'll want to dive into and it sounds absolutely amazing. I know I can't wait to click and check it out myself. So thank you so much. I appreciate you and your energy and all your wisdom that you've brought to this conversation.
Oh my gosh, thank you. And thank you so much. Because I don't know if the podcast didn't exist when I was raising my kids, but I think this is just so helpful. And so I really just want to thank you and honor you for taking this task on when you already have a busy life.
It's delightful. It's my passion.
Well, that comes through.
If this podcast has inspired you, guided you, or just made you laugh, the number one way that you can thank me is by leaving a written review for the show over on Apple Podcasts. I'm seriously tickled every time that I hear from you all, so pop onto Instagram and follow Plan Go Plan and digital message me. I want to say hello. I want to geek out about all things planning and goal setting. Keep sensing the possibilities, y'all.